The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine, Monday the 8th of May 2023. It's a pleasure to be with you for the start of another week here on the 9 till noon show. Caroline Orr is back taking your calls and comments on the text line 086 60 25000. Neve is working alongside her, taking your calls to an 07491 25000. Keep us busy on those lines this week again, will you? If you want to talk about anything, raise an issue, you need some help with something, get in touch with us. We're more than happy to help. Emails to comments at highlandradio.com. Right, okay. Let's look at the newspapers this morning. Did you feel the tremor in Donegal over the weekend? The Irish National Seismic Network is urging people across Donegal who felt the earthquake this weekend to file a report on the website. This is in the Donegal News. The 2.5 magnitude earthquake occurred near Glenveagh National Park in the early hours of Saturday morning. The tremor, which was detected 5 kilometres below ground, was recorded by seismic stations across the country. I posted about this at the weekend and many people heard it. Others thought it was just simply thunder. Others actually felt a bit of a rattle. One lady thought it was just her husband snoring. There's lots of different reasons as to what people, or different explanations as to what people thought it was, but it was a mini earthquake. Some people who felt the tremor, reading here, have reported that the earthquake made their home shake, whilst others said it sounded like a loud crash of thunder that woke them from their sleep. The earthquake was also detected by several Raspberry shake size monitors operated by citizens and schools across the country. Did you feel it? 086 60 25000. The Derry News this morning: key frontline services will be cut across education, the economy and health. This was Derry Chamber's depressing assessment of 2023-24 NI budget delivered recently by British Secretary of State Chris Hatton-Harris. Chamber Chief Executive Anna Doherty said the outworking of the budgets were becoming clear. She added, "It's obvious that the consequences will be felt by all communities, businesses and families across Northern Ireland. Key frontline services will be cut across education, the economy, health and more. This is a crisis which will not just affect business, but communities, schools, households and workers." And couldn't they have pumped some of the money they spent over the weekend in London and elsewhere? Maybe sell off some of that gold or some of the crowns and actually help people that need the money. Never going to happen, and it's a bit obvious to say so, but there's one report of how people's lives are going to be affected, and tens and tens and tens of millions of euro spent crowning a king. The Irish Independent: the economy will take a 1.1 billion euro hit due to a lack of hotel accommodation this summer amid the ongoing pressure of housing refugees. A secret government memo warns. The document presented to ministers in recent days states that the level of refugee and asylum seeker occupancy of hotels will have a serious impact on tourism spending. It predicts that the economy will lose out on a substantial amount of money, with reduced spending from tourists a key factor. Obviously, this is going to affect Donegal potentially more, because we've an incredible high hotel occupancy rate, I believe around about 51% currently. Well, this document also states that attractions and activities here which depend on tourist spending will need financial supports. Full details of the costs were spelled out in the discussion paper on displaced tourism accommodation. The breakdown of the money that will ultimately not be spent by tourists this year was listed as 581 million in food and beverages, so that's your pubs and your restaurants hit, 94 million in activities and attractions such as caves and kayaking, 207 million in all areas of transport, that's your buses and taxis and what have you, 198 million in retail, that's a big hit for shops, and 20 million labelled other. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is among those who were presented with the figures at a meeting of the Cabinet Subcommittee on Ukraine, where the implications for profitability and the maintenance of jobs were discussed. Are you in the tourism sector? Is that something you have a particular concern about across the Northwest? Get in touch with us, 086 65,000. Inside the Times this morning, the first public consultation on the Irish deer population has seen a large majority of respondents call for larger annual culls than the record 55,000 animals shot dead last year. More than 80% of those who participated, many listening to this show, I'm sure, in this consultation process on the impact of the Irish deer population, expressed the view that the animals were negatively affecting biodiversity, damaging agricultural crops and causing road safety issues. Some 86% of the 1,500 respondents said more culling of deer was needed. A large majority also believed that a domestic venison industry should be expanded, which would make a bit of sense too, wouldn't it? I mean, we do have to, it seems, as uncomfortable as it might be for some, we do have to control the population. It would be more palatable, no pun intended, if the meat was to be brought into the food chain. It wouldn't be something I'd eat, but perhaps it would just make it seem not as horrific as it does on the face of it. The Irish Daily Mail this morning, up to 50,000 debt deals struck with mortgage holders after the crash are in danger following the seventh interest rate hike since last summer, experts have warned. Mitchell O'Brien, a personal insolvency practitioner, said the latest increase would have a horrendous impact for many of the 300,000 mortgages. The mortgage holders, in fact, on variable or tracker rates. He also warned the rate rises are more stark for the 100,000 plus people who entered into alternative repayment arrangements after the banking collapse. Mr. O'Brien said between a third and half of those ARAs are now compromised due to the increase in interest rates. Let's have a look now at the red top tabloids. This is the Irish Daily Star, and one of the big problems as well facing us is the rising cost of eating. €1,200 on average per year, the cost of groceries has increased by. But the government has convened a meeting of the Retail Forum to discuss concerns over high food prices. Representatives from the major supermarkets will gather for the meeting on Wednesday, which has been called by Neil Richmond, the Minister of State with responsibility for retail business. We'll try and get the Minister or one of his delegates onto the show. The Minister said the government had the power to introduce price caps on products, but did not want to have to do that. Other European countries have, by the way. Mr. Richmond said inflation had decreased in Ireland in the last year, but the prices had not been reduced. Inflation this time last year was running at about 10%. It is down to 5% now. We should be seeing prices coming down, he told RTE, the Week in Politics programme. Not that we ever would, but if we organised as a people, even in one particular county, and said, look, we're not going into these shops or that shops until you do something about these prices, how quickly would it take before they took action? Probably quite quickly. The Sun this morning, amongst other papers, tells us that a man in his 30s was in custody last night after being arrested on suspicion of the murder of a mother a week ago. Angela Canavan, aged in her 50s, lived alone in St. John's Terrace in Sligo Town. She was discovered with head injuries shortly after 8:30pm on May 1st. Her home was sealed off for a detailed technical and forensic examination. A post-mortem examination has been conducted, but the results are not yet being disclosed for operational reasons. The suspect is currently being held at a Garda station in the northwestern region. And hopefully there's a progress in that case just as soon as is possible. And lastly, where are we? What did I pick out of this paper? Oh, yeah. Wee story in the Irish Daily Mirror. Positive one. Ireland's busiest fishing port is pulling in a growing share of the lucrative cruise tourism business. That is Killybegs. It's set to see more than 50,000 visitors off cruise ships this year, which is a new record. It'll be the third most popular cruise ship port in the Republic after Dublin and Cork Cove. Shipping agents from firm Sinbad Marine Services Limited said it will be handling 28 vessels this summer, up from 21 last year. I think I remember when the first one came in some years ago. It's fairly progressed since then, hasn't it? The first to visit on May 16th will be the biggest vessel to berth in Killybegs. The 294-metre-long Norwegian Star is fractionally bigger than the Cunard Line's Queen Victoria, which visited in 2018. That's over a quarter of a kilometre long. A Sinbad Marine spokesperson said in total, the hard-working linesmen of Killybegs Harbour will tie up 1,000 metres of cruise ships this summer, which is an interesting way of looking at it. Okay, I think lots of people will go down and have a gander at that, won't they? Okay, that was a quick run through what was making the headlines in the papers this morning. Good morning to Michael, Marie, Mary, Beth and Elaine, amongst those joining us to watch the show across our social medias. Don't forget you can do so on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch on your phone, your tablet, your smart TV, your Fire Stick, if you wish. Like and subscribe. It's good for you. It's good for us. And right across our Facebook pages and on our website as well. Businesses have taken to social media at the weekend to talk about parking in the Twin Towns. One wrote, after years of asking councillors about getting 30 minutes free parking in our town to help smaller businesses survive and make our town more attractive to shop in and getting absolutely nowhere, today was the final straw. A customer pulled in outside our butcher's shop to pop in for 5 minutes. The tyre of his car was about a foot over the yellow line. A traffic warden sprinted across the road and was at his window in 20 seconds. Before our customer could get his seatbelt off, he was told to move. The warden demanded he leave, even though he said he'd only be a few minutes and would be 10 foot away from the car. He wouldn't even have had time to get a ticket. Within a minute, the warden was issuing him with a ticket. 1 minute. They go on to say, our customer drove off and we did not see him again today. Instead of using common sense, the warden chased a paying customer away from our door. As small businesses, we're constantly paying tens of thousands of euro in taxes, electricity, rates and insurance, and we cannot even have 5 minutes grace for parking in Ballybuffet. There is no grace period for parking in our town. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. I propose that we should be given 30 minutes free parking in the Twin Towns. Okay. Councillor Patrick McGowan joins us on the programme now. I mean, businesses are struggling as is. The McConnell's Meats owner there quite rightly pointing out that they're, you know, they're paying an awful lot of money for various services and they just perhaps want the same businesses as advantages that people in Letterkenny get. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I understand it. And I have spoke to a number of businesses yesterday and an ongoing. I attend an awful lot of the meetings in the Chamber of Commerce businesses, pay towns on a regular basis. And this issue comes up. There's a lot of confusion out there. And Greg, you would have known of Donegal Town and other places. Ballybuffet is the same as Bundoran and Donegal Town, not Letterkenny. Let me clear up Letterkenny. This is one of the advantages Letterkenny got from the old days of being a town council. When the government went away with the town council, the county council, the whole council, agreed that the Letterkenny town councils would keep some of the benefits. This is like all the gardeners and all the extra road staff they have, and they have three traffic wardens. In order to operate this this free half hour, 20 minutes, you take nearly three traffic wardens to do it. It's very complex, and that's what it takes. In Ballybuffet, we have one. The money that's collected in Ballybuffet, there's enough money there to pay one traffic warden. The rest of the money then, the other 70-odd thousand, goes to the street sweeping, which the Chamber of Commerce recently took over. And as you can see, they're doing a fantastic job. There's a confusion out there as well about no grace period. For a fact, there is 10 minutes. This is not at the discretion of the traffic warden. He has no discretion whatsoever. The machine that he carries, it's a scanner. It's calibrated. And if you happen to pull up and he happens to be standing right in front of you and you get out of your car and walk away, he can then scan your car. The machine that he's carrying cannot issue a ticket in Donegal Town, Bundoran or Ballybuffet for at least 10 minutes. So you're very fortunate if you're standing parked and walk away from your car in front of the traffic warden. So most likely he's not there. At least he probably won't appear for another 5 or 10 minutes, which means you have, but at least.
So you're saying the car would have to be scanned in situ without a ticket and then scanned 10 minutes later.
Yes, that is a fact. That's the only fact.
Well, in this case that I read, there is some suggestion that the car was encroaching on a yellow line. So obviously, in that situation, the 10 minutes doesn't count because that would be classed as legal parking.
As we know, parking on footpaths, which is happening everywhere, parking in disabled bays, the most fines the council have given out are yellow lines, footpaths, and that, and you're correct. There's a different ticket issued there. It says on your ticket, the offence. So for the cheapest parking in the country is in Ballybuffet. In Avenue Car Park, you can park all day for €1.20. €1 for the entire day, actually for 24 hours, €1.20. Main Street, Melbourne, 50 cents. And Michael Henley's Shopping Car Park is 30 cents. Now you have, that's the change in your ashtray, whatever. You have these apps now and that. Now, the purpose of all of this is the council has all the things to be doing, because the council is making no money out of this other than paying the traffic warden. And all of the money collected in Balbafane's now, the same as Donegal Town, every penny of it stays in the town. There's a brand new street sweeping machine. There's a full-time man hired to sweep the streets, clean up, and spend the rest of the day working with sea workers and repairing and painting around the town. And that's what the other towns that we have and report.
So do you not think, though, there's not an argument, though? And you know, at the end of the day, I think we have to listen to people. That's what... And I think particularly elected representatives, if with respect, is what they're charged with doing. I mean,
that's what we do, Greg. Yeah, but so, make a point, Greg.
Yeah, but
Greg,
wait till I finish the question. Well, you're not listening. Yeah. What I'm saying is that extend it from 10 minutes to 30 minutes. Or even do an assessment as to what the financial impacts of that might be. Trial it for three months.
But so, Greg, that's what we've been doing for years. You've had that debate in Donegal Town there, as you well know there, just a month ago. That in order to operate the same as Letterkenny, it takes up to 3 traffic wardens. That's what you're doing now. You're taking the money away to do 3 traffic wardens. And you know, and I know, it's the same as the 10 minutes. What happens when it's 1 minute, 30 seconds over 10 minutes? It's the same after. So you imagine going into Michael Hannes. You imagine... coming from all over Ireland, from Dublin and Belfast, you get to Michael Hannes, you have a half an hour, you're not in there 10 minutes, and you're starting to look at your watch. Michael Hannes is trying to sell you a dress, a handbag, a shoes, and you're standing there, look, the whole thing is...
It's not Michael Hennie's, right? Because, say, for instance, a pharmacist, right? You go into a pharmacist and you're just nipping in and you get into a queue or your prescription's a wee bit delayed. Next thing, it's 10, 15, 18 minutes. The same in a butcher's or if you're grabbing a coffee. Do you know what I mean? That little bit longer. Yeah. I just can't figure out, and I'd be interested for you to explain how the role of the traffic warden would change switching from 10 minutes to 30 minutes. He would scan the car as he would walking up and down the street, scan them, and then re-scan them 30-odd minutes later, the exact same he would scan them the 10 minutes later. I don't see how extending the 10 minutes to 30 minutes requires 2 additional staff. Pardon my ignorance, Patrick.
Yeah, it's the total. The machines are totally different calibrated for a start. The machine at the moment they have at the moment isn't giving you 10 minutes free parking. It's not free parking. It actually gives you time to go away and get a ticket. But at the same time, you can get a coffee, buy a newspaper, loaf of bread or whatever. The setup in Letterkenny is a lot more complex. And what we are told, that's just the same parking. It's one parking office for the entire county that operated. And they're telling us it can take 2 to 3 traffic wardens. That's what it's taking in Letterkenny. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they, you know, but we're told there's 3 in Letterkenny. There's 2 on at the moment. There's 1 off sick. But it's taken 3, and they have a lot more staff. But it would mean, first of all, and the whole purpose of this is to keep the traffic moving, is that people are not hoarding the same spots all day long. And as I say, to try and move them, particularly on the main street, to try and keep them moving all the time. And in Michelin, and the whole thing is to bring in customers in and change it over. And that's only going to, you'll end up a sort of a park and ride for Balbafay. It costs money, but in this case, the money out. And it's not... it's the 30 cents that we're talking about here, or in the main street, the 50 cents. They are trying to open up 3 more parking spaces in the town. And what I have done, I'm speaking to the Chamber and the businesses who have been consulted. The Chamber of Commerce have this discussion every year and in Donegal Town. What I have done yesterday with some of the most effective business in Balfe has asked that the parking section of the council will come down, and rather than me and you doing, that will sit down with the business affected, try and discuss. And if there is something, what you say, if that can be extended to 15 minutes or whatever, but they also need to put up signs to let people know, because there's confusion. If you see yesterday, there's a lot of confusion about 10, 15, 20 minutes, and that's not good. That's where the council falls down in signage and confusion.
So what would you favour yourself then? Because, as you say, you've attended a lot of these meetings, you've heard all of the arguments. What do you favour? Are you happy enough with the status quo if there is adequate signage and better understanding of the 10-minute rule?
Yeah, look, I would be happy even if they can recalibrate their machines that say you get 15 minutes, that from the time the traffic warden happens to come around the corner or lands on the car park that you're in, 10, 15 minutes, if it allows someone to get a cup of coffee or buy a newspaper, she say, get to the chemist and come out. But look, in my case, what I will always do, because you never know when you get into a shop or you go around the corner who you bump into, you're better putting that 30 cents. And this is what it's all about, is putting that 30 cent into it. Or, now there's a fantastic app out there now. You can actually park your car, go onto the hairdresser, sit down in the seat, and then pay for your parking on the app while you're in the hairdresser. Well, you don't even have to wait or delay. But look, I think the problem with the council happens is communication. There should have been a lot more. It's not down to me or you or the general public to explain this. The council are there. By the way, there can be no grey areas in this, because these traffic wardens who are hated in the country, nobody likes a traffic warden, they have to go in front of a judge. And if there's any grey areas, they're just made a fool of and they're thrown out because it's something that's never given. Mm. But they do need, and the council has promised me, they will sit down with the Chamber of Commerce in Balfay, but particularly the business in Balfay, who I do know, and I know them all very well. They do still have issues. A lot of them did not realise, as you can see on Facebook, there's a lot of confusion about 10, 20 minutes, and there is 10 minutes.
Right, okay. Listen, we'll see what the listeners think as well. Thanks, Patrick. I appreciate your time this morning. That's Fianna Fáil Councillor Patrick McGowan there. What do you think? Is that something that that conversation, has it changed your views if you're in that area? 086 60 25,000, WhatsApp and text. I got a contact from a listener in Lifford last week, and didn't mention it at the time because we wanted to chase it up and raise the issue with the Gardaí. The problem they're having is antisocial behaviour in the Lifford area. Almost every night, a group of boys and girls kicking people's front doors, and they're doing it to an older lady too, who this person is related to. It's in the Ballyduff area of Lifford. Their concern is that they're going to end up giving this lady a heart attack as they kick the door with some force, and the woman is scared as a result of it. So off air, we chased it up with the local reps on the Joint Policing Committee, and on Garda Síochána have told us that they're going to follow this up as well. But is that something that you've been affected by, antisocial behaviour in the Lifford area, doors being kicked, particularly from this listener's perspective, they're concerned about the Ballyduff area of Lifford. And it's something we want to help to bring to an end if it's still ongoing. Let us know. 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000. Right. The footpaths and car park is never treated during the winter months. And another thing, there's people parking at the McElhenney's car park. She walks past the cars, no tickets, sickening. Now, it's very possible that these people have booked tickets online and their reg is in the system. So I think a lot of people are using the online system now. So it's very possible that if you don't see a ticket on the window, that they've paid for their parking online. And the machine the warden holds will indicate that to them. Good morning, Greg and team. Buncrana is a 30-minute grace period and only needs one traffic warden to manage. That was one part of that conversation I really didn't, I couldn't link the dots on that. But the model is already employed in beautiful Buncrana, so why not the Twin Towns? Even for a period, I don't understand why we don't try something. Give it 3 months or 6 months of the summer and go back to the businesses and say, look, did it have a material impact on the businesses? Maybe you prefer if we went back to the old system. Maybe people can't park or you're not getting as much business. You know, work with them. They're the ones paying a fortune into the council's coffers. A caller says the councillor stating it's complicated to operate the 30 minutes grace period is nonsense. When he went on to point out the wardens use scanners, he's effectively calling the business owners a liar, which I don't believe he is, but I understand where you're coming from. Typical public representation these days, they don't listen to the needs of the electorate. Ask Patrick, can we get the street cleaner to clean the housing estates around the town? Might double check on that one. That would make sense, wouldn't it? Can you tell Patrick McGowan Letterkenny is three times bigger than Ballybuffet? So one traffic warden should be enough for Ballybuffet Stranorlar. I live in Milford, says a listener here, and there's a school bus having an issue trying to get around the town. He's having an issue because cars are parked on both sides, despite the double yellow lines. Further up the town, four vans are parked on the footpath outside a hardware shop. What's ironic is the Garda station is based a few feet away. The Garda station is right. They'd only have to look out the window, look out the door, turn their head, and they would see. You're not allowed to park on both sides of the street in Milford then. It's a pretty regular occurrence. I wouldn't like to manoeuvre a large bus or lorry through that if that's the case. Can you please ask why the main street is 30 cent per hour and Navaney Street 50 cent per hour? I don't know the answer to that one. Parking, please ask how are the hotels, the Villa Rose Keys Hotel, allowed to take up spaces with orange cones when they have an expected wedding coach arriving, etc. I have a lot of sympathy for businesses and I do understand what this listener is talking about. And it's right across this region, it seems that you can just put cones outside your business if you want. It happens all the time, as I say, in numerous towns. It is kind of frustrating if you're looking for a parking spot. And the traffic warden can't do anything about it. It's not within their gift. They can only deal with mechanical vehicles. They can't deal with people blocking the roads with a skip or a cone or whatever it might be. And I do know this reserving parks with parking with a cone is something that frustrates a lot of people out there. Yeah, Bunkrana, another caller says you get 30 minutes free parking. If Bunkrana, why not the Twin Towns? Last for now, a caller asks, how come it's okay for a hotel proprietor to leave cones outside their premises on the street to stop traffic in order to let a wedding in, yet it's not okay for someone to pull outside a butcher's to buy some meat again? Traffic wardens can't put a ticket on a cone, whether they should be able to or not. It seems to be a little bit of a black hole in the rules of the road there in that regard. Now, really pleased to welcome onto the programme John Mooney, crime and security correspondent with the Sunday Times. John, thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it greatly.
That's no problem.
Right, lots of people, obviously, as you can imagine, texting a show like this in the Northwest, John, wondering what's going on with Russian ships off the Northwest coast, and I suppose the Irish coast more generally. What is the working theory?
So, early last week, there was a formation of Russian vessels entered Ireland's exclusive economic zone, and that included Russian warships. Now, that in itself is not that unusual. Russian ships passing, leaving the Mediterranean, will often pass along Ireland on their way back to the Kola Peninsula. However, two of these ships appear to have broken away from the main formation, were stalled, and they loitered in close proximity to some of the undersea sub cables that carry internet traffic between Europe and America. And the reason why this provoked a kind of significant response from the Irish Navy and the Royal Navy was because Europe at the moment is on a high state of alert for attacks on critical infrastructure, and particularly offshore critical infrastructure. And as you know, there was a sabotage attack on the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines last September, and NATO is of the view that sabotage units from the Russian military have actually planted explosives on some offshore critical infrastructure around Europe's seaboard. So that's the reason why this has gained lots of attention and attraction.
I mean, obviously the Russians know that Europe is watching them. Your information is as though that they're confident this isn't just saber rattling, just to let them know that they're there, or they're maybe trying to spot weaknesses in our defences or what have you. There is the belief that they're actually actively operating and doing stuff as you outlined.
Well, there's been a number of incidents around the Irish coast in recent years. In 2021, there was what could be best described as a civilian vessel that was found very close to a subsea cable, about 170 nautical miles off the southwest coast, and that actually had submersibles in the water, and it had its AIS transponder system switched off. So there's lots of different things going on in our domain, in land, sea and air, involving Russia. And some of it is open, some of it like what we saw early last week. But there are other covert operations being run from here the whole time. Most of that is in the intelligence espionage, the main. There are occasionally other incidents taking place, but there is a continual flow of Russian intelligence officers, both illegals and undeclared intelligence officers, in and out of this country and the whole time. And our security services and our military deal with that as appropriate.
Other than monitoring, is there anything else that the likes of the Irish Navy can do?
Well, I think these sort of incidents, which are escalating continually, shows is that Ireland's view that it is somehow protected because we're a neutral state in more significant geopolitical confrontations is really a nonsense, and it should be confined to the history books. So, but I suppose with the government, from a government's point of view, and you have to see it through various prisms, from the government's point of view, I mean, we are a neutral state, but we do cooperate with NATO, and our security services and our intelligence services cooperate with other European partners and would be described as allied services amongst them. Our military is the exact same. However, politically, we like to reaffirm our independence. But this is all getting very confused because there's obligations as members of the European Union that if one of our nation states was attacked, we have an obligation to go and help defend them, and likewise. So what Ireland has found itself is that we've really came to the end of this period whereby we operate on an outdated and very poorly informed national security and neutrality policy. And it's very difficult to see how that is going to be maintained in the years and decades ahead as China comes to the fore, as Russia comes to the fore, and we enter a kind of multipolar period of great powers as opposed to having one which was traditionally viewed as the United States. So we've lots of different types of threats coming. Russia poses particular types of threats because of the way it behaves. They are experts in non-conventional or hybrid warfare. And in this country, they're very active on that front. And they've attempted to reach out and forge alliances or certainly influence dissident paramilitary groups, loyalist groups. They're very active in our virtual world and our cyber sphere. Politically, they are in open confrontation with the government. We've had Yuri Filatov, who's the Irish Russian ambassador in Ireland, openly criticising the government on lots of different issues, which is in itself is highly unusual. Mm.
You could argue, through comments of Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar, that we kind of fired the first shots in that regard, but I take your point. John, finally, what is, I know these communication cables and what have you run under the sea, what do we know what the consequences of them being destroyed might actually be? What would, what might the impact be on people in this country?
Okay, so if there was one of them, it's never going to be a Russian military vessel will attack any of these things. If this thing happens, it will be made look like it will be some act of sabotage, or certainly they'd be more vulnerable actually on their landing points around the country. So with hybrid warfare, it's unattributable and it's deniable. And no one, it's kind of the countries where this happens in are usually left in a situation where it's very difficult to prove what's actually happened, or it even involved a malign actor. And Russia does and has always thought through these sort of issues. So, you know, if there was one of these cables severed or something happened, that in of itself won't close down the internet in Ireland or Europe or anything like that, or slow down traffic. However, if there were a number of them targeted and simultaneously, that could possibly cause an overload scenario, which would affect internet traffic, etc. So, but sometimes the consequence of the action isn't the purpose of it. The purpose of it is power projection, and it's the Kremlin or whatever power it is be responsible, showing Europe, showing the Western world that it can strike right in its heart and without them even knowing. And that's what this is really about.
All right, John, listen, thanks for your insights. I really appreciate it. That's John Mooney there. You can read him in the Sunday Times. Is there a crime and security correspondent? A caller said, just as we were going to that, Greg, can you find out what our Navy are doing to protect us from the Russian ships spotted off the Donegal coast? They're not there for our benefit, thank you, clearly not, but they can observe them. Outside of that, not much else, I'd imagine. Hi, Greg, nice to see the leader of our country at the King's coronation picking his nose, rubbing his nose. There's an awful lot going on, an awful lot, I think, for us to analyse in terms of politics and how they act, but I don't know, rubbing your nose. But I take your point, and I'm not criticising you for texting in. Manhole cover sticking out of the ground in Dunfanaghy across from Malloy's Bar on Main Street would damage a car badly, so hopefully maybe someone is listening that might be able to have a look at that. Now, Sinn Féin has called for the introduction of a temporary and targeted mortgage interest support scheme to support homeowners with rising mortgage costs. Donegal TD, Piers Doherty, who is, of course, the party's spokesperson on finance, was speaking as the ECB's expected, well, it has raised interest rates for the seventh time since July. This is a slightly older press release. Right, Piers Doherty, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning to you.
And I mean, one can only imagine for those people on fixed mortgages, and I think particularly those who had their mortgages, performing mortgages in some cases, sold on to vulture funds. There's a whole gambit of people affected. But every time one of these announcements comes now, it just must fill people with pure fear.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as a finance spokesperson, I get a lot of correspondence from people, not only from our own county, but right across the state. And you can hear the anxiety when you're, you know, when you're reading the words that they've talked about. You can hear the concern. Some of them just talk about being in a spiral, being locked in, feel as if they're trapped. And these are the individuals who you've spoke of there, Greg, people who have had their loans sold off to vulture funds. Many people might think, well, they're people who were in arrears or who fell back in their mortgages. And in some cases, they are. But in other cases, there are tens of thousands of people who went into an arrangement with a bank, never missed a payment in their life. But because the way that the arrangement was structured, particularly with Permanent TSB then sold all of those loans on to vulture funds. So these individuals today, because they were sold on to vulture funds, many of them are now paying over 8% interest rate. If they were with Permanent TSB, they would be paying in the region of 4%. So they're paying, like, you know, 4,000, 5,000, and 6,000 euro more on their mortgage than they would have been when they were with their previous bank. And this is despite the fact that, you know, government minister after government minister, including the Taoiseach at the time, said that there was no problem, that people shouldn't be concerned about having your loans sold to vulture funds. I had legislation actually in the Dáil to actually stop that from happening, but Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael blocked it. And Fine Gael finance minister went as far to say he would have no problem with his loan sold on to a vulture fund. But the reality today is that those individuals now in thousands of euro more. But
I would have a particular problem with that. I'm not sure if you would share it in that. You know, I would imagine a lot of the people then that we are talking about at that time, if they wanted to fix or maybe switch to a pillar bank or something, it possibly would have been doable. But if they were listening to that advice and being told that everything was okay, and you know, maybe there was no forewarning, I don't know. It's kind of different with the way Ulster Bank's leaving the market, maybe it is. But if you were getting advice that everything was going to be okay and didn't take moves to sort of fix or move, you'd be very upset now.
Yeah, and people are very upset. People feel that they have been betrayed by government in relation to those assurances that they were got. We made it very clear at the time that, you know, your loan should never be in the hands. Your loan for your mortgage for your house should never be in the hands of a vulture, because they are only interested in the short term fix. They're only interested in basically getting as much, squeezing as much out of you as quickly as possible. So they're not interested in your student loan, if you have children, your kids' loan, or, you know, your loan for your car. There's no interest there. Whereas Permanent TSB, AIB and Bank of Ireland, whatever we think of them, they're competing with each other and they're competing in the long term. They want to be here in the next 50 and 100 years. The vulture funds don't. And that's why a lot of these main banks haven't passed on fully. They have passed on interest rates, but they haven't passed them on fully because they're trying to be competitive. And that's why that was always the risk with the vultures. So like it's extremely bad if you've got your loan with a vulture, because what they've done is they've passed on those interest rates. So many of the, you know, the split mortgages we were talking about, those mortgages were being charged around 4%, maybe even a higher percent. Now they're up at 8%, and they will go higher as the ECB continues to increase interest rates. Like that's a huge amount of interest on a family loan. But it's not just the loans that have been sold off to vultures. You know, people who are paying variable rates or on tracker rates, and there's 250,000 of those in the banking system. Because of the shock, because of the fact that the ECB have increased interest rates 7 times since July, what we now have a situation is, and our own central bank pointed this out last week, that 20% of all mortgage holders have actually experienced a 50% increase in servicing their mortgage this year. That's €5,000, and that's before last week's interest rate hike happened at the ECB level, and we expect further increases. So that's why Sinn Féin is saying, look, we recognise that the ECB is trying to fight inflation. They're independent setting their rates. We can't do anything about that. But there is a responsibility and indeed an obligation on the state to actually help, take the sharp edge off this sudden shock of €5,000 increase on people's mortgages. And the way that they can do that is through mortgage interest relief.
Yeah, so, but I'd imagine those that are making these decisions to increase interest rates would not be too happy with that, because the whole idea, is it not, is to try and drive down inflation. So then if a national government intervenes, you're spending taxpayers' money to offset a EU mechanism to try and reduce inflation. I mean, so there has to be a consequence to that.
Well, first of all, there's two parts to that, Greg. First of all, what Sinn Féin is saying we're not talking about absorbing all of the interest rate hikes that have happened in the last 10 months since July of last year. We've never said that, you know, any government, whether it was us or Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, could actually do that or should do that. What we're saying is 30% of the increased interest that families are seeing should be taken on temporarily onto the state's accounts. And the state has the ability to do that. We have the resources to do that. And that would benefit up to €1,500 per household. What the ECB is trying to do with in terms of fighting inflation is they're trying to reduce credit right across the European zone. So they have a crude instrument in doing that, and that's interest rates. Now, those interest rates obviously affect people who are borrowing, who've already borrowed. But the main thing it plans to do is actually to stop people borrowing in the future, to stop businesses, to stop households borrowing in the future by pushing the cost of credit way up. But in doing that, there's people already trapped in that cycle. They don't have a decision whether they're going to borrow further. They've already borrowed, and that's their mortgage interest rates. So we're not talking about trying to make credit easier for people so they can go on holidays or buy a new car or whatever. We're talking about people who are trying to keep a roof over their heads. And the central bank, our own central bank, made the point that more people are going to fall into arrears now. So, you know, and it's the shock of this. Like, if you were sitting at home last year, we were in the middle of a cost of living crisis, and you were trying to balance your books, and you were thinking, right, well, this is what's going to happen in terms of maybe a young fella's going to college or whatever it is, and you're trying to budget, and then out of the blue, your mortgage cost is increased by €5,000. You have no time to adjust for that.
How do you target this, though? Because there are many people of those on tracker mortgages that are prepared to ride this out. You know, they could have fixed, they can still fix, a lot of them could still fix it around about, what is it, 3.2% or something along those lines. But they want to maybe hold on to that tracker to ride it out to see if things come back down again. They don't want to overcommit. So why should we, and this sounds like a horrendous question, but I hope people understand where it's coming from. Well, why should we insulate them in that risk? You know, for those that can fix, how do you target this so that we actually help people that can't pay their mortgage and not help people that are making a financial decision to best suit themselves?
Well, first of all, you know, people who can fix will make that decision themselves based on your own individual circumstances. There's no kind of one size fits all in relation to whether you should fix or not. If you're on a tracker mortgage, it all really depends about how much you owe, how long's left in your term. And also, can you, as you said, can you ride this out? Can you take the risk? But even if you were to fix today, you're still fixing at a very at a higher rate than you were this time last year, because banks have increased fixed rates, and some banks have increased it a number of times. So those individuals who fix, Greg, would also receive support through this scheme that we're talking about. Basically, anybody who sees their interest rate increase since last year, or has a higher rate because of this since last year, then they would be able to get some of the support up to a maximum €1,500. And yeah, you make a point, and there's always an issue in relation to this here. Is there people there that are wealthy that have got, you know, seen their mortgage interest increase and they can actually ride this out? There's no doubt that there is, but there's other ways of dealing with that. Like, for those that are super wealthy or those who have incomes above 140,000, we have different proposals in relation to additional solidarity tax for
incomes. I get you. So we could claw it back elsewhere. Secondly, too, and again, you know, I get we need to help people, particularly those affected by the vulture funds, but we're using, again, and it's similar to the situation with defective concrete, again, we're using taxpayers' money, all of our money, to effectively line the pockets of the vulture funds. They can sit there and still enjoy charging their ridiculous interest rates, and they're insulated in that. In other words, we're going to make sure that people can continue to pay these ridiculous mortgages, again, using taxpayers' money to line the pockets of some of the worst banks out there. For some people, that won't sit well.
Look, you know, what the vultures have done in terms of passing on all of these interest rates is absolutely immoral, in my view. We will have soon, and the last rate increase, which happened last week, that'll be passed on now in the next number of weeks. And once that happens, you're going to see people paying 8.5% interest in terms of their house. That's just absolutely appalling.
Is the government proposal to try and make it easier, and I haven't been able to get much information on it, but they're looking at it, I believe, in the summer, to make it easier for people to switch from vulture funds to pillar banks. Is that not a better way to do it? In other words, help people and target the money from getting them out of the grips of these vulture funds, rather than, as I say, insulating them by guaranteeing their cash?
Yeah, well, look, first of all, let me say this here, and I've heard this speculated by government and all of that. These are the same parties that actually facilitated the sale of these mortgages to the vultures. The central bank for the last 20 years had a code of practice on its books to say that you're not allowed to sell your family home to another financial entity without the consent of the individual. It was a voluntary code, it wasn't statutory. I had legislation to make that a legal obligation on all banks, and Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil blocked it. So now they're scrambling around with their heads in the sand, recognising that what we were pointing out at that time, that banks, that the vultures would increase interest rates, and there was no incentive for them not to do that. Now they're trying to scramble around saying, well, how can we get the banks who sold these in the first place at a huge discount to these vultures, how do we get them to buy them back now? And that's seriously problematic. There are people out there who have got their loans with the vulture fund, and if they're listening to this program, they should actually now consult either the mortgage holders organization or MABS, because some of those loans are performing. They're not in arrears. You know, they've been in the hands of the vulture funds for a number of years. And yes, they can switch. They can switch, you know, to AIB or to Permanent TSB. They will be switching at still a high rate, but it'll be a lot less than what some of the vultures are charging. And there are going to be people, and Greg, we're making this very clear. There, even with our proposal, which would benefit households up to €1,500, there are still going to be people who are still not going to be able to pay their mortgage, because you have a situation where their interest rates aren't going up. The additional interest isn't going up by just €1,500. It's going up by €5,000 and €6,000 for some. And that's far too much. So what we're asking government to do, and we've seen loads of schemes when we look at the cost of living, we see the TBES scheme for businesses, €1.2 billion. It doesn't matter whether your business is a multi-billion euro profit business or a little corner shop, both can actually avail of it. The energy credits avail to everybody, regardless of what type of income you have. So there is precedent here in terms of a cost of living crisis, where you have to take in a broad measure to actually not insulate everybody, but insulate and take the sharp edge of this.
Well, what's the cost?
The cost of this, to run this out between now and the end of the year, What we've kind of estimated is €400 million, and that's based on costings that was provided to us by the Independent Parliamentary Budget Office. But Greg, there, to do that, you have to make certain assumptions, and those assumptions aren't going to pass, really. Like, for example, all fixed rates would have to increase by 3% and would have to increase immediately, like today. That's not going to happen. But, you know, and the same with variable rates would have to go up by 2%, and they would all, it would all have to take effect today. Again, that isn't happening. The market, we aren't seeing that happen in the market. But we've used those type of figures to actually, you know, to go on the upper end. We expect the cost would not be higher than that. But that's the type of that, that's the type of possible resources that you're going to have if things got a lot worse. And look, there is a €10 billion surplus this year. You know, this is the people, these individuals are taxpayers as well. And, you know, we talk about the cost of living. We're talking about food, which is putting a huge pressure on families at this point in time. It's, you know, going up and up and up. The average additional food bill per year is €1,200 for families. These families, some of these families are paying €5,000 more in terms of interest. This is the biggest cost of living increase that many families are facing. It's not food, it's not energy, it's actually your mortgage. Okay. And on this issue, the government has decided to do nothing, and that's not acceptable.
All right. Thank you very much indeed for that. That's Deputy Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin's spokesperson on finance. Agree, disagree? I mean, sure, I'm sure the government would argue that they are doing plenty. A caller says, I'm an old-aged pensioner and received my ESB last week, which had €700 credit. When asked, could I be refunded, as I feel as though this could be better used, I was denied this with no further explanation. It was a complete disgrace. How would one find themselves with €700 in credit? Maybe a low user, and that is some of those government initiatives, I don't know. Who is to say? A caller says, all Pierce does is talk. First car insurance, if anything, it still keeps going up. Now mortgages, talking no good when the prices are still rising. Okay, 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number. We'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show after the news and obituary notices.